Today I'm speaking with Mayor Elaine Manzer, and I have a couple questions for you that they're on the minds of a lot of residents around town, and it's about the growing homeless population. So I'm sure you both are aware of the population here. I was just wondering if the town council and yourself, Mayor, if you guys have a plan in place to address this.
Well, we don't have one plan. We've got many avenues that we're trying to explore to work on the whole situation. So, yes, we have a growing homeless population, but as Mark will tell you here as well, we've always had homeless people, right? However, in the last few years, we seem to have had a major increase in homelessness. In part, we found out, due to the changing way that the Provincial Correctional Institute, the jail, has to release prisoners. That's exacerbated by lack of bus service between towns in our northwestern Alberta area. So, at the same time, the whole world is facing bigger mental health challenges with lots of their population, bigger problems with addiction. Mm-hmm. And so that added into, let's add some prisoners into the town of Peace River, which already has some homeless. Let's have those two populations interact. And, oh, by the way, we're a relatively small community. Where are they all going to end up? In part downtown Peace River, I would say. So Mark can maybe speak to some of the initiatives. He initiated a mental health task force that Peace River and three other communities, Grimshaw, our Northern Sunrise County to the east of us, mm-hmm. and Northern Lights County to the north of us, have all sent representatives from their councils into this mental health task force, because it isn't just a Peace River thing. It's where do these people come from if they end up being homeless, either for other reasons. They're homeless in Peace River, but the surrounding municipalities are as affected by it as we are in terms of they do business in town, they visit town, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So maybe Mark can talk a little bit about some of the, if you...
Mark, will you be taking the lead on regarding the situation with the homeless in Peace River and surrounding communities?
I wouldn't say I'll be taking the lead. We're trying to find out which direction we want to go. So we're kind of working with the Sagatawa, because we're now at the point where we need to make some moves forward. We need to have a systematic approach. We need an agency that's literally going to solve homelessness. We don't have an agency in our community to solve homelessness. Sagatawa is responding to it with the emergency shelter and some of the programs they have, but we don't have housing coordinators. We don't have second stage housing in Peace River. You know, we don't have anybody helping people with nobody to help them, like assigning caseworkers and stuff like that. So, you know, as we've learned over the last couple of years, we've ran a couple of estimations on finding out what's happening with our homeless population. And the very first one we did, I believe in 2018, 50% of the people experiencing homelessness at that time were dealing with mental health addictions. And I don't see that changing. I see that actually getting worse as we went through COVID. And so with the increase of poverty, because according to the Canadian Mortgage Association, 85% of the people experiencing homelessness in Canada is due to poverty. So we've got this massive poverty that we're dealing with that's been coming along, the mental health and addictions problem that's coming along. And then we look at what's happening in Edmonton and Calgary, right? Their streets are overloaded because that those are the centers that they say, hey, this is where the help and support is. And now they're being overwhelmed. Well, every community in Alberta is being overwhelmed because there is no supports for this massive amount of influx. Our hospitals are overwhelmed. Our police are being overwhelmed. 90% of our police calls sometimes during the week are not even crime related. And they are not supported as far as training wise or with the staff or the backup or the tools or resources to handle this massive mental health issue that we have.
So what would your first step be? Would it be provincial or federal funding? Is that what's needed?
I think, in a sense, our first step has been to partner with Sagatawa Friendship Society, and both the town and Northern Sunrise County have put in a little bit of funding to help them with some of their programs. Their outreach program,
Yeah, so we've launched a mobile outreach team. So, you know, we didn't want to invent something new. We looked at what was going on at Grand Prairie, and they have a mobile outreach team that's diverted 2,500 calls in one quarter from the RCMP. So this team's going to now start working with the business owners. We're going to start dealing with a lot of the lower level crime that a lot of the officers are moving people around from one spot to the other, you know. And at the same time, we need to look at where are we going to move them from now? Because now the mobile outreach team is going to move people around. We can't just move them from the mall to the park to the library, you know. So we have to get going on our next stage of housing, which we're already working on and got plans on.
Which is a more provincial and federal aspect to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, we're, you know, and because we're small, you know, we're looking at a housing project that's probably going to have 6 to 8 partners in it, you know, to make it happen, because we can't just, there isn't an agency large enough, or we don't have a mustard seed in Peace River or a Boyle Street or anything like that in Northern Alberta. It's all centered in there, and we do not even have the funds.
Other jurisdictions have been using temporary modular housing set up in parking lots and what have you to combat the growing homeless population. Now, being that the weather is going to be turning in the next few months, all those people need somewhere to go. Has that option been offered or presented?
In a way, and in a way not. We've gone with, Sagatawa had a MAP program for overnight accommodation for those that wanted it and those that fit into it. Part of the problems with that we've experienced, I guess, or the program has experienced, is, I'll quote, regular homeless, add in the jail release homeless. And those two populations don't know each other, don't necessarily get along, and it creates certain issues there. So we've got the Sagatawa MAP program. They're looking to expand that program. However, they've got limited resources as well. The task force, I think, is examining some different types of housing, and be they the modular houses you spoke of. I know Slave Lake did that, but we're wanting more than just here's your housing, because if this is here's your housing, do you necessarily move on from here's your housing ever? You know, you're just in that endless circle. Well, okay, I'm going back tonight, but I'm never getting out of it. And part of it is we want to work with the jail to have some sort of regular transportation system that will sometimes move people out of our community that would normally be released here. And the jail, you know, it's under its own constraints because the law says release them at 8 o'clock, release them at 8 o'clock. It used to be that we had the bus service in town so they could manage to keep them in custody, I guess, until the bus is leaving at 8 o'clock. We'll get you there for 8 o'clock release and you're released and by onto your community. That was different times, different challenges for the jail at that time, different challenges certainly for us now that we only have one bus service and it only leaves how many times a week, maybe?
Yeah, and it's 7 in the morning too.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm released at 4 p.m. Well, what do I do till the next thing? So we're working with the jail to, and you know, they're working in and of themselves to help us with this cause as well. They want to have inmates that are released into at least a step forward, not just a step back into custody sort of thing, which unfortunately has happened to some of them. Mm-hmm. Then we need to work with our legal system that says, well, that endless circle into custody, it's not helping our cause. It's just growing a population of those in and out of custody.
Absolutely.
So the transportation issue, and we're asking and advocating with ministers, provincial ministers in particular, I think on that one, for some sort of, I don't know, program, be it a pilot program, be it whatever, that would help us with that busing community to community. And, you know, I quite realize that, but some of these inmates, they're not really wanted in their home community either. So that's where this all-around transitioning and other services needs to come in as well.
We've got this major gap that now people are falling through the cracks due to a perfect storm, the jail, Manning, the new change in the laws and the bail laws that just came out. and lack of transportation. And it's really under a magnifying glass with everything else that's been happening.
Yeah, one example that was given to us, someone was actually going to offer a ride to one of the released people to Slave Lake. And he said, no, I can't take the ride. I'd really like to. But if I go to Slave Lake, I have no way back to get into my court date, which then would cause him other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something else that we'll be asking the ministers, well, what about this kind of situation? You know, we have virtual this, that, and everything. You would think that the system could move a little bit on that aspect. We have asked the local RSMP to be more visible. So they have, I think, been more visible sometimes on foot, sometimes just cars down in the area. They do they do kind of security checks at night with businesses, make sure their doors are locked and, you know, notify businesses if that's not the situation. So, you know, they're trying on their part too, but here we be. And we're thought to be, you know, a nice little quaint town. You shouldn't have any of these kind of problems. I hate to tell you, but we're part of the world. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, it's generally when you have your regular customers, you have your regular customers. But we're getting up to 300 people a year released downtown from here, not from our community.
Which,
so,
by the
you
way,
know, you don't know how to track these guys down. Whereas if that type of crime, like, there's five guys that are going to do that, and you're going to find out.
Absolutely.
Now it's like there's 500 guys that could have done that on any given day here.
Which would be, we're told, equivalent to releasing about 65,000 prisoners into Calgary city population per year, which would not be acceptable down there and is not acceptable here. You know, the province has managed to get some extra sheriff help in Edmonton and Calgary, and we're saying, well, here we are, we're a unique situation. We're northern Alberta, we don't have bus transportation from town to town. We've got a provincial jail which has to release people. They can't get out of town if they don't have their own kind of mechanism for that. So what are you going to be looking at to help us? And that's really the push on that one aspect. The other aspect is the mental health and the home, you know, the other homeless part of it. But it's one thing that might take a little bit of the pressure off some of the resources that we have in town that are trying to work together to do this.
So we've got the mobile outreach team now on the streets. They're going to connect to these prisoners. The jail has now made a commitment that they're going to talk to the shelter when we're dropping you guys off and connect them to the supports there. And we've got a shuttle service that right now the shelter is funding, the Sagatelle is funding out of their own pocket to keep the community safe by getting these guys. Sometimes they're taking four guys at a time back to Grand Prairie, you know, up north. You know, they're paying for that out of their slush fund there. So we're trying to, you know, support them that maybe if they need more funds, they can get guys out faster. But at the same time, there's complications about transporting prisoners, right?
Even things like cell service, you think, well, what's the big deal? But, you know, if they have to try and get somebody on the way to high level, you can't just send one officer in a vehicle anymore from the jail. You have to have two. And
it has to be daylight. And, you know, so some of these things are throwing some complications into the system there.
Absolutely. I do have a final question regarding the homeless. Is when do members of the community, are they going to see a difference?
You know, the difference that has been seen, I guess, is two encampments in particular have been disbanded. That's not saying they're gone forever, but it was a visible thing that you could see happening. I have no real date. I would like it as soon as possible, but all these little factors figure into it. You know, in the town, we have our community police peace officer now, and he's quite visible and is interacting with this community, but he's one guy, you know? So we really need everyone's help in keep reporting things that are going wrong. Otherwise, you know, if there's suddenly a wave of, well, let's pick 1,000 break and enters all happened last week and nobody reports them. Well, please don't pay attention then. Mm-hmm. You know, so they need that help as well in order to figure out some of their where they put officers and what they tell them to do as well, I would say. MLA Williams is becoming more and more aware of the situation, including our, you know, the drugs don't stop at the borders, a peace river sort of thing. So just an awareness that we have those issues as well as anybody else, and we need help. We need not only saying, well, here's a nice little program, but if we can't have staff in that program for whatever reasons, that's another aspect to making it end tomorrow.
that's a good answer. It's a tough question. It's hard to give a
It is. It is. And sure. There's many layers to it.
And I will say that, you know, because of my connections in homelessness, we get a lot of calls up here that people are saying, wow, you know, you guys, they're trying to mimic what we're doing as far as how we're collaborating together as agencies, how we open the emergency shelter, how we're advocating for supports and stuff like that. And you know, thankfully we have a community here that really, really cares. The business community, everybody in this community is very entrenched.
The business community in particular, like it's noticeable, the ones who've painted their buildings and really tried to keep things clean because that sends a message. Well, don't dirty it up sort of thing. But, you know, they can only do so much. And at the same time, you know, for some people who have mental challenging issues, it's very hard to convince them that to take use of whatever resources are available as well. So that's why I think the Sagatawa outreach and the mobile outreach program is going to, you know, establish some relations with basically the long-term ones. That's why we need the release aspect and the transportation to help as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that transition piece, though, I think it seems to be key, some odd people into regular housing, which you think the stress that takes off the system. It's definitely a holistic, and it's more in our face, you know, this year, I think, than ever before. And so we try and deal with it as best we can and try and keep the partnerships and the conversations going, because you never know. Mark has a conversation with somebody and picks up a tidbit on something that might work in Peace River, and we go from there.
Mark, so when dealing with the local agencies here, have you guys thought about putting an action plan together specifically for Peace River, something like that?
Well, that's what we're kind of looking for at the task force here when we meet, because we, you know, we set some goals for last year as far as what we were going to advocate for. We've met those goals, so now we're looking at tackling what we want to do here with homelessness. And somebody here somewhere in discussions with the town, how do we want to approach this, because we want to do it right. We're having about 1.5 drug poisonings a day in Peace River. So is it, I don't know, right? You know, and so we don't know. And I know when I talked with our mental health team, we've not seen a lot of overdoses that they've had to use naloxone on, but they don't respond to that type of call either, right? You know, like the mental health team is not going to respond to an overdose. You know, the
so your outreach team that's here, are they equipped with naloxone?
I don't know. We'll find out this Thursday, because they've just been doing their training and their orientation and they're grading their procedures and stuff. So we want to have them. I don't even know if they should be hitting the street any day, I would suspect.
Great. No, that's been great. Thank you for speaking with me on the homeless issue.